Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. My name is Scott McKenzie, but you know that my name is Scott McKenzie because you're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We've got an incredible interview with a gentleman by the name of Guy Courtin. And we're talking supply chain, and he's dropping some supply chain bombs that you need to take note of. Without a doubt, if you're in the supply chain, if you're just in industry in general, boom, you need to talk to Guy because he knows what he's talking about. And you also know that this platform is dedicated to you, the industrial professional. We're all about education. We got a ton of interviews out there with the best of the best. Root around at industrialtalk.com. You will not be disappointed. Let's get going. Guy Courtin. Okay. It's G-U-Y. Do not call him Guy. Call him Guy because that's the right way of saying it. And he's got 20 years of mad skills within the industrial supply chain space, retail space. And he's got about 4 points that you need to be aware of as a professional. And he lays it out. A couple of times within the interview, my ears started to bleed just because I am just so excited about the innovation that has taken place within the supply chain. And everybody's touched by supply chain. Do not discount that. That is important stuff. And so we're going to continue to expand upon that. And once again, you can go out to industrialtalk.com. All of his contact information will be out there. And I highly recommend that you get a hold of him and start talking supply chain because he can definitely make you a better company because he knows what he's talking about. Anyway, here's a shameless plug for the Industrial Academy. Go out to industrialtalk.com. You look for the Industrial Academy. And it's all the training that I do. It's all provided to you. If you're a sales professional, if you're a business development professional, if you are into the branding and marketing as an industrial professional, that is the place for you. I don't care who you are. You need to sell more. You need to grow that market. That's what that is all about. You get to see all the stuff that I do as a professional. I am so passionate about sales and marketing. You have no idea. Because once again, if we're not selling, if we're not expanding the market, if we're not doing what we can to get your message out, then you're not changing the world. And I don't care how wonderful your widget is, you're not changing the world. And industry needs, and they do, change the world. So go out to industrialtalk.com, look at marketing, find the Industrial Academy. It's not that expensive, so go out there. I'd love to be able to interact with you and see what we can do to help you expand your market. So, all right, once again, we're going to be talking to Guy Courtin. Now, 20 years of experience within the supply chain, he's seen everything. He's seen it from the beginning to where it is today and where it's going to be going and all the challenges in between. And I'm telling you, man, it's a fantastic interview. So, everybody, enjoy the gentleman by the name of Guy Courtin. Do not call him Guy. Guy Courtin. And I'm telling you, take notes. Get that paper and pencil out and take some notes on this particular interview on Industrial Talk. Enjoy. All right, you Industrial Talk podcast listeners, we've got a great interview, and this is with a gentleman by the name of Guy Courtin. That's Guy, not Guy. That's not how you say it. It's Guy. So Guy Courtin, welcome to the Industrial Talk podcast. Thank you very much for joining and, you know, carving out some time for us Industrial Talk podcast listeners.
Scott, it's an absolute pleasure to be here, and I quite honestly quite honored that you reached out to me and that we're doing this. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're flaunting your hair in front of me with the cool hat. You're just too doggone hip for me. No, yeah, it's all cool, man. I like it. I like it a lot. Hey, I've been out to your LinkedIn stat card. Why don't you give everybody a background into who you are and why you're such a spectacular professional in the supply chain profession?
Well, first, Scott, you flattered me, but yeah, to give a quick intro, I've been in the space for over 20 years now, which every time I say that, I kind of unfortunately roll my eyes because that means I'm getting old or just getting younger every day. Started my career back in the late 90s, early 2000s at Forrester Research. At the time, we were just a small little research company, about 300 of us, covering this thing called the internet, which was at the right time, the right place. And to be quite honest, I take a lot of lessons from that time frame and still apply them today. But then really got into supply chain, went to business school, came out, started working at a company called i2 Technologies, and then made my way through a couple of other great supply chain firms. Even went back in the industry analyst world, covering supply chain and retail and manufacturing. And most recently was at Infor as the vice president of industry and solution for supply chain and retail. So a lot of experience in supply chain, love supply chain, I think it's what makes the world go around.
All right, you Industrial Talk podcast listeners, if you have any interest whatsoever in supply chain, you need to reach out to this guy. Man, how's that, man?
Yeah, that was a good one. You're a professional.
I am. I don't get enough recognition because of that. Anyway, he's out there on LinkedIn, and you're pretty active on that, right?
Yeah, I'm very active on LinkedIn. So folks can find me on that. So again, LinkedIn, you know, first name G-U-Y, so Guy, but it's pronounced Guy. Yep. Last name C-O-U-R-T-I-N. And I'm also very active on Twitter. And my Twitter handle is just first initial G, last name C-O-U-R-T-I-N. And please do follow me, interact. I don't just tweet about supply chain. You'll see I talk a lot about sports and other stuff. But, you know, I'd love engaging with people about supply chain and retail and manufacturing and all those good, fun topics.
Okay, you listeners out there, do not fear, because all of this information will be out on industrialtalk.com on his particular podcast. So there's no excuse for you not getting a hold of a Mr. Guy here. Okay, let's lay out that foundation right now, Guy. I would like to know, from a supply chain perspective, let's talk a little bit about the past. Let's then dive into sort of this present situation of what you see. Uh-huh. And then let's go into the future and the challenges. Let's talk a little bit about the past. I mean, come on. Supply chain is everywhere. And it's just getting better, better, and better.
Supply chain is everywhere. You're absolutely right, Scott. And as I said, I think supply chain is something, and I always joke about this, and I love her to death. She's my mom, and she's very smart. But I always say, you know, if I can explain these topics to my mom, and one thing about supply chain is my mother and I always talk about this. She always asks, well, what is supply chain? What exactly do you do? And I say, Mom, you know, would you go buy groceries? Yes. Okay, well, you go to buy groceries. Why are those shelves always full? And they always have great assortment, and they have pricing, and they have inventory, and they have safety stock and all that. That's the supply chain. You know, if you go to buy a new sport coat, that's the supply chain. You go to buy your car, it's a supply chain. You go, you know, you go to the bank ATM and withdraw money, there's a supply chain behind that. So what I tell people, my mom being the example, is that supply chains are everywhere. Supply chains are the foundation of everything that we see, touch, do, interact with in any industry, whether it's business to business, business to consumer, I don't care. There's a supply chain behind it. So I think that's the fundamental thing we have to always think about, is that what is the underlying system and network that gets that product, that service to your doorstep?
You in the world of supply chain, you're always focused on getting it there more efficiently. Uh-huh. Compressing the time, because I know if I go to a store and let's say it's football day here in Louisiana and the shelves are bare of crackers and chips, you know what I get mad at? The shelves are bare and they didn't do a good job in their supply chain and getting it there on time.
Right. And you're pissed because you're going to tailgate in Baton Rouge for a great Tigers game.
Look at you throwing down the yellow shoe.
And you don't have, you know, your chips and salsa and your beer, and you're an unhappy customer. So not only has that store lost the incremental revenue they would make off of selling you those chips and beer and salsa, they're making you unhappy. So maybe the next time when LSU is hosting Tennessee, you're not going to go there. You go to another retailer to get that product. So now they've created an issue where it's not just the immediacy of losing revenue, it's the long-term repercussions of an unsatisfied customer. And I think what we're seeing, you know, we talk about the past, right? And the past is supply chains, in my opinion, were very linear. And what I mean by that is it was, I don't want to say simple, because it by no means was it simple, but the process was much more clear, where I went, I sourced something, so to those chips, right? I sourced the corn. I processed it, I made it into a chip, I put salt on it, flavoring, brought it to a distribution center, brought it to a store, and finally Scott comes in one day and buys it from the store. It's very linear, very simple, right? It goes from A to B to C to D.
Right.
What we're seeing today, so modern supply chain, I think the future, is this notion of a network, the notion of a network of networks, the notion of multiple networks. So what does that mean? Well, Scott might buy those chips directly from the local grocery store, but what if Frito-Lay somehow now puts them on a drone and delivers them to Scott's tailgate in Baton Rouge at the LSU game? Why not?
You know, I would be a rock star. Self, drone and snacks.
Drone and snacks. Yeah, perfect, right?
Yeah.
But that's the network. So now a Frito-Lay, so a CPG firm, is no longer constrained by its relationship with, you know, the local grocer or the local convenience store. They can now go directly to you, the consumer. So now we have a supply chain where the complexity has doubled, tripled, gone tenfold because of this notion of the network, because of the fact that we've moved away from a linear supply chain to a truly network supply chain, truly, you know, almost an amoeba supply chain, right? That constantly is evolving and moving. And I think we're only seeing that complexity grow.
Now, in the future, I see that as a disruption within the supply chain sort of model itself. Because in the past, go to the store, get your snack, move on. Today, you're saying I can definitely go from, I mean, I could go to Amazon and get my snacks, and there's no brick and mortar outside of the fact that there's a warehouse there, and it comes to me.
Yep.
I don't have to get in a car and go. I just got my, you know, my Saturday LSU snack ready to go.
Right.
They delivered it. Where do you see the future going?
I think the future is exactly that. Why they could deliver it to you at a physical address either. We all carry around these supercomputers, right?
Yeah, you just blew my mind. You're absolutely right.
They've all got GPS. They've all got, you know, location-based applications. So take this example. You know, you're at the beach, and you forgot sunscreen for your 12-year-old, and you know damn well if you don't put sunscreen that his mom's going to rip your eyes out when you get home. So what do? You order on your phone. The drone again, or maybe a person, identifies where you are based on your GPS location, and they come and they drop off that sunscreen, right? We're seeing that with, in a way, with food delivery services already, right? They deliver to wherever you want to be. We're seeing this with companies like Domino's, who will deliver.
Domino's, that's it. Yeah, yep. That's right.
They've established a bunch of hotspots where they deliver to, right? That's just one step away from delivering to your cell phone and your GPS location.
Now, there's some moral issues associated with that GPS.
So. Absolutely. We haven't even touched the notion of privacy and of data infringement and all that. And even take the example further with the future of supply chain. So we talked about those chips. So maybe, you know, for the game, you want some nacho Doritos. But why not down the road, you could reach out and say, you know what? I like Doritos with 10% Cool Ranch and 12% Tabasco in it. And oh, by the way, now I'm going to an LSU game, so I'm going to add some crawfish flavor to it. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, Doritos on the assembly line will be able to configure that flavoring just for you, right? We're starting to see some of that with some of the customization we're seeing with production. It's only going to get crazier in the sense, or more customer favorable. Yeah. And that's also the future, I think, of our supply chains.
See, you listeners out there, I mean, if you think you know what the future is and what it holds for you, it's really, truly, Gee, it's truly customer centric. It wraps around the behavior and the real likes of what the consumer wants. And if you are, there's no other way you can do it. You have to leverage technology. There's no other way to achieve what you said, that, hey, I want a little barbecue then with a little Cool Ranch. There's no way. Hey, I'm on the phone. I'm talking to Frito-Lay right now. Happening right there. No, it's got to be definitely a technology-driven solution on that.
It does. And it's, you know, and to some degree, my belief is that customization is only the next step that we're seeing. I mean, we're seeing this with people like Adidas, who are doing the Mi Adidas, right? Where you can customize your sneaker and they will produce it off the same line. Now, having said that, if you really dive into it, it is not true mass customization from the standpoint of, you might want a purple rainbow unicorn on your sneaker. That's not an option. They might give you other options. So there are some guardrails as to what the customization looks like, but those guardrails are getting wider and wider. And I think we'll only continue to expand
Right.
As companies are able to do it because of the technology, because of the visibility they have in their supply chain, and also because of what? You and I, as consumers, saying, no, I want this kind of customization, so you better doggone give it to me. And if you don't, I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah. It is. So my, now that my ear is bleeding, let me just sort of tap it right now. I mean, that's amazing what you're talking about. Now, it's not all, you know, pink elephants and butterflies. I mean, there are going to be companies that will embrace and will just continue to push the envelope on solutions associated with the supply chain. And then there's going to be companies that are saying, whoa, I don't have that level of nimbleness within. What are the challenges you're seeing with people with those adoptions?
You're absolutely right. I think there's a large resistance to this type of thinking. And unfortunately, it goes by the way of the dodo bird, which is it gets extinct. Big. And I think, you know, this is, and I will quote Darwin, and you know, maybe I misquote him, but I think his quote is, it's not the survival of the fastest or the strongest, the one that adapts the fastest.
Yeah.
And that's the reality. It's which supply chain can adapt faster, which supply chain can adapt to what their consumers and their future consumers are looking for. And I think that's what we have to look for. So I do think, and you made an interesting statement in the beginning, Scott, which I think is correct. And I'll also challenge you a bit on it about this whole notion of the delivery time being compressed. And I do think that, you know, we got to call, you know, talk about them. Amazon is the one that has made us believe that, well, we need everything within 2 hours, within an hour, within 10 minutes, right? Instantaneously.
The gray matter in my skull is saying, what? 2 days?
Right. Oh. I can't wait that long, right? But it's,
I need it now.
Right. And it's, and for certain items, absolutely. There's this whole notion of instant gratification, right? And that's the difference between going to a brick and mortar store and getting it delivered online. Brick and mortar, I walk in, there's that new, you know, plaid pocket square I love. I'll get it right away, right? Instant gratification. Do I have to wait 2 days? Maybe I change my mind. Maybe in 2 days, I'm like, yeah, I don't want it anymore. But the reality is, when you think about it, not every product, not every item, whether it's business to business or business to consumer product, has to be delivered in that time frame. And I think we need to start thinking about that differently. For example, my girlfriend a couple years ago ordered a rug, and she had it delivered to the house. Well, guess what? The window of delivery, we were gone, so it sat outside, it got rained on, right? So why can't I now say, well, I want that rug, but you know what? I want you to deliver it to me in 3 weeks on this day.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I don't need it right now. Right. I'd like it as soon as possible, or maybe I don't. Or for example, hey, maybe if you're a toy manufacturer, you give me a discount, you say, hey, if you pre-order your Christmas toys today, we'll deliver them to you by Christmas Eve, and we'll give you, let's say, a discount for doing it now, right? I don't need them now. I don't want to hide them from my kid for 5 months, but if I could get a discount today, take advantage of it, then absolutely I'll do it. So I think we have to start thinking a lot more about flexible delivery, because not every product is going to have to, and also flexible fulfillment from the standpoint of, hey, you know, Scott's traveling to Los Angeles and you just realize that, you know, you want a new suit. So you go to a site like Suit Supply or Bonobos or one of these, and you order a suit, you find the one you love, it's great, it's a gray window pane suit, and you're like, you know what, maybe you could deliver it to me to my hotel in LA so I don't have to carry it with me, and I'll just pick it up there and off I go to my meetings, right? Why not? Right? We have the fulfillment capabilities. And part of it is, you know, we as consumers are going to start asking for or potentially requesting this flexibility in delivery. And I think that the savvy supply chains have to get in their mind that how or what can they do to make this fulfillment more meet our needs, not just a 2 hour window, but our true needs.
It's truly customer centric. And I mean, it has to be flexible. Now, you've got a lot of, for lack of a better term, like legacy systems in place that are not really good at developing a level of flexibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a part of the supply chain, and I don't have that level of flexibility, I mean, what do I do? I mean, I'm going to have a significant amount of CapEx.
I think it's a significant amount of CapEx. I think it's a significant amount of willingness to take those risks and to invest where you need to. I think it's also, for lack of a better term, it's a significant amount of backbone to also pump the brakes on things that you cannot do, even though your consumer asks or your customer asks you for it, and you know will train wreck your margins. And I think that's something too. I think it's not a flight to. We all can't be chasing the same ball, right? And I think that's the problem that Amazon has created, is that we all believe, and I keep using the consumer business, but we all believe as a consumer-focused company or a B2C company that we have to chase Amazon. To some degree we do, because they're the 800-pound gorilla. But, you know, I always use the bad analogy, right? There's two guys in the woods, a bear pops up, starts chasing him. One guy stops, you know, starts putting on his running shoes, and the other guy says, "You can't outrun the bear." And the guy says, "I don't have to outrun the bear. I have to outrun you."
Checkmate. Absolutely accurate. Okay, you've been dropping a lot of supply chain truth bombs here. Let's talk a little bit about some points that our listeners can walk away with and say, okay, we can't eat this elephant all in one bite, and there's just a lot of stuff going on out there. Yeah. And we just sort of scratched the surface. But I'm a big believer in, okay, making progress, at least from an incremental point of view. What steps do you, if you're a supply chain, this is for you. What steps do you begin to think about?
I think, you know, you need to think about first and foremost, depending on what your supply chain is, right? I don't define what that is. Now, I think the notion that we're all global is absolutely the fact. You know, we all run global supply chains, regardless if you're a mom and pop store or if you're a Walmart or you're a Caterpillar, you're a global supply chain. But I do think from a supply chain professional standpoint, I think we need to start thinking, and this sounds cliched, but I think it's absolutely key, is that consumer. And I don't care if you're a B2B or B2C, at the end of the day, behind every B is a C, right? There's always a consumer somewhere in there. And I think that what we're seeing too, from a supply chain standpoint, is a lot of the consumer behaviors are trickling into the true business-to-business world. For example, I used to talk a lot to some procurement software players, you know, so they were, they had clients like, you know, large banks who were buying reams of paper and pencils and toilet paper. And they realized that, you know what, when that person comes in to buy, you know, the ream of paper for the bank on Monday, they don't accept to have an interface that looks like, you know, 1987. They are used to stuff from like Amazon or eBay or Alibaba. Yeah. So have that notion. So I think every supply chain professional needs to start thinking with that. It's the consumer first, and then go backwards.
So I'm going to evaluate my supply chain, sort of take that a high level view from the consumer's perspective. Right?
Yes.
That's number one.
That's number one. Start with the consumer. And again, I don't care if you're a petrochem company, airplane manufacturer, you make, you know, Furbies, whatever. Think about your consumer. And it's a cliche, but too many supply chain professionals, I think, forget that, because, and part of it too, Scott, is, you know, supply chain professionals have seen or have been seen, we talk about the past, as a cost center, right? Something in the back office that's you guys run the warehouse and drive trucks around in the factory. It's important, but it's kind of grimy. And heaven forbid you talk to a customer or see a customer, right? That has to change.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. That's what fascinates me, is that we're talking about it like it really hasn't been a embraced process. It's like, yeah, the consumer. They're the ones that keep you in business. They're the one that...
they're the one that pay the paycheck at the end of the day. Yeah.
And if you make that experience even... better a user experience, then there's a correlation there.
Yeah.
Okay, number two. So we're looking at it from a consumer perspective.
Yeah, looking from a consumer perspective. I think one of the big issues I'm seeing now in supply chain, which I think is a big macro issue, but something that supply chain professionals need to think about, is the notion of sustainability. I think that, you know, we are getting more and more awareness around the importance of having a sustainable supply chain. We are getting more awareness in terms of what that looks like, whether it's your carbon footprint, whether it's, you know, how you use minerals, whether how you use resources like water, things of that nature. I think that's an important topic. Now, supply chain professionals might say, you know, that doesn't help me with my demand management system or my S&OP or, you know, whatever planning engine or execution engine I'm using. But I think it has to have an overarching drive towards these other topics, right? When you think about if I'm buying a new WMS system to run my warehouse, you need to think about sustainability, right? Is there an aspect of that warehouse management system that helps you reduce cost in electricity, usage of water, labor, you know, et cetera, a whole host of topics. I do think it's something that we're only starting to see the momentum behind this. So I think now is a time as a supply chain professional to start thinking about, well, what do I do about this in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, and how do I prepare for that today?
It makes sense from a business perspective. You want to be as efficient as you possibly can and as sustainable as possible too. And if that means a reduction in the consumption of power, that's good business, you know, strategy. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good. I do like that. Okay. So what we have, we've got the evaluation from the consumer perspective, a sustainable, you look at your supply chain from a sustainable, sustainability perspective.
Yes.
Do you have a third one in there?
I think a third one, and this is sort of a, you know, this maybe I probably have two more for you, but I'll give you the third one, which is on a more macro level too, is, and I think we're seeing a lot of the examples today. It's this constant eye towards geopolitics and towards what's happening in the world. So supply chains, again, I don't care if you're a mom and pop store or you're Walmart or you're Boeing, your supply chain is impacted globally because it's something is being touched on your supply chain from all over the world, whether it's, you know, subcontinent Africa, from LATAM, from Asia, from Europe, from North America, Canada, whatever. You know, all we have to do is look at what's happening today in the world, right? Yeah. We're seeing things happening in Hong Kong. Well, guess what? A lot of products flow through Hong Kong in that area. Seeing what's happening potentially with Brexit coming up in a few months now, what does that look like? I mean, we could do a whole podcast on the horrors of what might happen with Brexit and the supply chain. We're looking at what this current U.S. administration is doing with threatened tariffs with China. What does that mean for your supply chain?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the risk associated with that geopolitical side has to be, again, taken into consideration. And I think most supply chain professionals know that inherently. And I think that they always think about, plan for, act with that global sense in mind. But I do think, and you know, I didn't say this in my background, but, you know, I am basically a trained political scientist from academics, but right. I always have an eye towards the fact that, you know, today is, I would argue, one of the more unstable geopolitical times we've seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
And I think that, and couple that with the fact that our supply chains in the past 10 plus years have become even more intertwined globally.
Yeah.
And now you have the recipe for a lot of disruption that is negative. But to be honest, the smart supply chain professionals might also see it as opportunity. You know, where can they take advantage of possible disruptions?
Well, that's pretty dynamic too. me being out there, I don't know if everybody sees that geopolitical or that macro view of the supply chain and that impact of the geopolitical environment. I think they just get, Here comes my widgets. They're coming on. As I come in,
right.
My demand side. I'm fulfilling my demand side, but that's a real important component. I like that too. All right, man. I'm becoming a better person because of you, Guy.
Well, I appreciate that, Scott.
Yeah, back at you.
Yeah.
Do we have a couple more points, or do we wrap it up now?
Yeah, I've got one more. It kind of ties to the first one around consumerization. I think it's the notion of localization. So I talked I just finished talking about global supply chains, which is absolutely the case. But, you know, I'll steal an old line from an old political, you know, fan of mine here in Massachusetts, Tip O'Neill, right? All politics are local. All supply chains are local at the end of the day, right? I've talked to plenty of, again, in the retail space in particular, but I've talked to a lot of companies, massive retailers who understand that they need to localize their assortment, localize their demand, their go-to-market. And what that requires is an incredibly dynamic and nimble supply chain so that while, yes, I'm shipping XYZ products in a, you know, typical TEU container to this zip code, I might break it down and become even more precise by the street address, right? Things of that nature. So I think supply chains need to think from that perspective as well, because back to, I think, our earlier point about this customization side, it's about localization. right? My Target down the street from where I live here is going to have a very different assortment than a Target 2 miles away. And guess what? Huh. You need to have that precision in what you're doing. And I think that's the same thing with majority of supply chains. You have to be able to truly identify your customer and your customer base and then produce the product for that base.
Isn't that interesting? And that just requires data. That requires constant view of that data and what's being consumed, what's being moved, what's not moving. And it just goes on and on. And being able to take those analytics and say, this store has a big run on chicharrones.
Yes.
Because they're in Baton Rouge and they like the fried pork skins.
Right.
This one.
Right. This one is only selling oysters and shucking devices, right?
Like, That's it. Oh, you know, if you go down to the bayou and you go into some of these supply places and they know what their market is. And man, it is all wrapped around food,
yep,
boilers and big stir sticks.
Yep. Yeah. But I'm sure, you go somewhere like in the middle of the French Quarter and it's all for tourist stuff, right? It's beads and all kinds of, you know, that stuff. It is.
Get your beignets. Hey, that's you listeners out there, you Industrial Talk listeners. That is Guy Courton. Whew. I don't know, man. I felt like I was drinking from the supply chain fire hose there for a little while. I don't know if I could handle any more. But man, I'm telling you right now, the future's bright. And we already talked about your LinkedIn, but you're pretty active out there.
I'm pretty active again, LinkedIn. You can follow me on Twitter. I also I do have my own blog, which is called The Thinking Frog. It's on WordPress. But if you go through my Twitter feed or my LinkedIn, you'll probably see some articles I post. So you can always backtrack through that. But yeah, I'd love to engage everybody. Feel free to. And if you think I'm full of bleep, then by all means, you know, call me out and let's have the conversation. Love it.
I don't know about that, man. I'm not going to call you out because I don't want to look like a fool. Yeah, big time. All right, you Industrial Talk podcast listeners, we've got 4 points that will be identified within the Industrial Talk podcast website. And I'm telling you, man, you need to reach out to this guy. He knows his stuff. Man, I'm impressed. So thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Guy, thank you.
Scott, thank you so much.
Listeners, hang tight. We're going to take a quick little break, but on the other side, I'm going to be able to wrap this whole thing up, and I want to make sure that you do not lollygag and get a hold of Guy, okay? So thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
As an industrial professional myself, I was always passionate about sales, marketing, branding, expanding the marketplace for my company. That's what the Industrial Talk platform is all about. It's about you, the industrial company, the industrial professional, and your legacy. Increasing sales, gaining greater exposure on what you do and how you and your company changes the world. Go out to industrialtalk.com. That's industrialtalk.com. Contact me. Let's have a conversation to see how we can work with you on improving your bottom line, and that you could be a part of an ever-growing network of industrial companies focused on expanding and growing and leaving a legacy. I hope to hear from you soon, and be safe out there. All right, you Industrial Talk podcast listeners, once again, that is Guy Courton, not Guy Courton, Guy Courton. And he's got some mad skills out there. You know he did. Those 4 points, very important. Take a note of that and reach out to him. And I'm just looking at my little sheet, my little cheat sheet. And he's got his Facebook page. He's got his personal LinkedIn page. He's even on Instagram and, of course, Twitter. And if you don't get a hold of him, man, he's engaged, man. That's who you want to talk to. That's who you want to interact with. That's Guy Courton. You will not be disappointed interacting with him because he is quite the nice guy. So anyway, thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Everything will be out there at industrialtalk.com. See if you can join up on that Industrial Academy. And we've got some great programs that are out there available to you to expand your market, to increase your sales. All out there, Industrial Academy. And thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. We're going to be coming back with another great interview. In fact, We're talking about education and educating the Industry 4.0 world. And you're saying to yourself, Scott, I don't know anything about the Industry 4.0. Oh, you will with that interview. So that's the next one in the hopper. So anyway, take care. Thank you very much. Always a joy, always an honor to be able to talk to you. And as always, you guys got to be safe out there. Talk to you later.